Bob Myers, I'm not letting a few games have more weight than the others.
It does. It probably changes it more than it should. You have to temper that, though. You have to look at the body of work and say, how real is this? The issue, though, what you're saying is you have to stop. You say you win four in a row before the deadline or win three in a row. You have to kind of push back on that and go, okay, that was just three games out of 48. Let's just pause a little bit. But it's hard to do that sometimes.
Hard to do that. But also, Joe, the mindset of a GM before the trade deadline. Trade deadline is also fascinating.
It's pretty rough. I mean, it's much more than maybe the public realizes. You know, this isn't like you woke up 2 days before the deadline and decided to make a trade. I can tell you about the Wiggins one we did. It's pretty exhausting from a standpoint of just running out a ton of ground balls. I mean, most of the stuff you discuss in detail, you don't end up doing, or you'll move forward. You'll get to the 10-yard line with another team, and they'll just pull out and say they got a better deal somewhere else, or they'll change the deal, or something will happen. A guy will sprain his ankle, the deal's off. Somebody's medicals will come back negatively. But every time you go through it, you learn something, and you learn about your peers. You learn who you can trust. You learn about your own group. Some people in the group are more aggressive, some more conservative. Ultimately, it's Joe's team. It's his call. And I accepted that, and that's what every organization operates under, is it's the owner's team.
So I love fantasizing about the woulda, coulda, shoulda deals.
Yep.
I love hearing these things.
Right. And it just proves that they're not easy. You heard it from Bob. His team could pull out in a blink of an eye. Oh, we got a better deal somewhere else. You could be at the 10-yard line. You'd be at the goal line. About to score a touchdown. Boom, guy sprains his ankle. Deal off the table. Oh, a guy may go for 40. Well, you know what? Now, instead of two first-round picks, I want three first-round picks. It's just a lot. It's a lot that goes into it. And Bob said it. He goes, I don't think the public understands what it's like. He goes, it's a nightmare a week before the deadline. So imagine what Dunleavy and Lacob and company are going through right now. As you get that, you got this basketball team that's 24-23. You've been injured. You've had 28 different starting lineups. You really don't know who you are because you haven't been healthy. But then you have all these parts that maybe sometimes they fit together, sometimes they don't. What are they going through right now? It's got to be hell down there at Chase Center.
Well, and I think like when I look at what they've done the last couple games, I would feel significantly more encouraged if Kuminga and Dre were there. Because I know once those guys come back, it's going to look a lot different.
Exactly.
Another adjustment. All the combinations are all going to change. And so that's why I think it's so perplexing, the Oklahoma City win, because you don't know what to make of that. Is that a one-off because of the lineup that you played, which you're not really going to play in other situations?
Mm-hmm.
Or is that really a testament to what you could do if those guys weren't here? I don't know. I don't know how to weigh it. It's hard for me to think, though, on surface level, that's who they are. To me, there has to be some sort of there's something about OKC that unlocks the Warriors, and they play really well.
Right.
I don't know what that is, though.
Eddie Johnson needs to push back to 8:40. All right, we could delay him 10 minutes. He's probably going to a golf course. He's in town. We got to get him. We got to golf with him one day, Shasky. Got to get this guy. He always talks about it.
Well, I mean, I my buddy Preston has been begging you to go golfing.
Well,
by the way, is an absolute stick.
Yeah,
guy's a plus golfer. He's incredible.
And I've never swung a club before, so
I know. I swung yesterday.
Preston's not going to have fun golfing with me. I'm talking about Eddie Johnson, though.
Yeah, I'll
Preston's got money, right?
What, Preston?
Preston's got deep pockets.
I'm not going to put his business out there. He's just a great guy.
I'm not trying to put his business out there. Yeah. I'm saying, hey, Preston, no one can play golf, but if we want to play golf with Eddie Johnson.
No, Preston would I'm not trying to be like that. He's that good.
Well,
I'd put him up against just about anybody.
Well, we got the great line when Eddie Johnson says, you better bring a little cash.
Well.
So that's what we're talking about here. We go to the Oak Club. Hey, Preston, bring out the dollars. Take this man's money, Preston.
Let me tell you, the lake course will decimate your ego when it comes being a golfer.
Don't bet. But Eddie said he won't play unless it's for money. Remember that?
Yeah, I'm telling you, then he's going to lose money.
Well, not to me. He'll take my money. He'll take my money. But no, I don't know. It is a fast. Now, OKC is a little shorthanded, no doubt. The Warriors are shorthanded as well. They're quick. I think they had an off night. I'm not going to put so much stock into that game, but they do match up well with OKC. They play them tough because they're not a heavy passing team. The Oklahoma City Thunder. They don't pass the ball around like the Golden State Warriors. Their assist numbers not as high, although their offense is really efficient. They do a lot of one-on-one, which makes you easier to guard. But what do you do if you're the Warriors? What do you do here? Have they already made up their mind that, you know what, there's not a deal out there that could help us. Or had they been trying to make a deal for the last 3 weeks and things haven't, because the first day people were eligible to be traded, they made a trade for Dennis Schroeder. Boom, boom, boom. We need somebody right away for D'Anthony Melton. It was the perfect storm. Well, I don't know what you do now. I really don't know what you do, what direction you go in.
What's the biggest need? Either position, skill set. What's the biggest need?
To me, it's...
You're not going to solve all of them.
Yeah, you're not going to solve all of them. Shooting and ball handling and playmaking.
Wow, that's still... in. Okay. No, I would go shot making. I think this team needs a shot maker. I think more pressure that they can put on the opposing defenses will wear down those offensive wings.
Yeah.
I would say shot making would be, for me, somebody that can put the ball in the hoop, which is crazy because that was never a problem for the Warriors for a decade. And it feels like a big problem right now.
I saw a stat yesterday that if you took Steph Curry off the Warriors, their overall free throw shooting percentage as a team would be 69%.
Monte, I saw stats about offensive ratings. Okay, we were talking about the league, right?
Right.
And like, I think people were losing their minds about 12-minute quarters being reduced to 10. 40-plus of the top 50 offensive ratings have happened in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Of all time.
Wow.
Okay? And I think 38 of them are in the last 5 years since COVID.
Mm.
So to give you a sense, like, all of the numbers, all of the skewing, like everything in terms of scoring and offense is completely skewed. And I don't buy it on surface level that one of the greatest offenses of all time was the Sacramento Kings in 2023. Do you?
I
as great as they might have been by the numbers, that my eyeballs tell me, I'm going to go with like the 96 Bulls.
Yeah, I'll go with the Showtime Lakers.
Yeah.
So I'll go with the Warriors for back-to-back seasons, and I'll go with the San Antonio Spurs in 2014, the Miami Heat. Like, you would name 20 offenses before you get to that Sacramento offense.
So the Warrior team that had Draymond playing at his highest when they won 73 games, they would be like a bottom five team in terms of three-point attempts this year. To give you an idea of how quickly the league has adjusted and changed. And I look at this Warrior team, and there's just not enough scoring. There's not enough shooting.
Yeah.
And so the whole league, like, as much as we all want to talk about point of attack defense and perimeter defense, I understand all of that. Believe me, I get it. You got to have two-way players. And all those guys bring a ton of value. The number one need for this team is a guy, whether it's an ISO or within the fabric of the offense, can score. They need a shooting guard who can score, who's big in the worst way.
No doubt.
It is the number one need of this organization, whether it's the draft, free agency, or a
more of a need than rim protection.
What's that?
More of a need than rim protection.
Yes. Does rim protection need to be improved? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you with the two guard.
I think two guard has been their biggest hole. If you ask me, Joe, what could this team add? Give me a 6'8 guy who could dribble a little, can knock down some shots, and is a freak athlete. Give me that guy right now.
Those 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", shooting guards don't grow on trees anymore like they used to.
No.
They become threes and fours. Yeah. But I'm with you. Getting a perimeter player next to, because what happens with Steph Curry, when you see a small guard next to Steph, and by the way, shameless shout-outs coming up in 17 minutes, shameless shout-outs. It just looks small, right? GP2, Schroeder, that trio looks small together. Brandon Podziemski and GP2 and Schroeder, or whether it's Pods and Steph, it's still a small backcourt. And unless you're super quick and athletic, like Cleveland, I'm looking at the Cavaliers, they're rolling right now. But they've hit a bit of a speed bump, and I just wonder in the playoffs, will that backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland play out itself? I have questions about it. Or will they need a bigger guard? Like, I look at the Knicks situation, I'm saying, boy, Mikal Bridges, Jalen Brunson in the backcourt, you got OG Anunoby and Josh Hart in the frontcourt alongside Kat. That's the perfect lineup.
When the games slow down.
Especially when they slow down.
You know, like, that's the other thing I think we need to understand is that a regular season game looks nothing like a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with the Warriors team is they've got a bunch of guys who are actually great pieces in a playoff series, but throughout the course of the regular season, don't do what you need to do to catch up a bunch of wins.
206, biggest need. Someone who can get their own bucket.
Which is what we've been kind of talking
888-957-9570.
Why Kuminga's so valuable.
If you had to make a deal, what would that deal be for? Will that deal be for? Will it be for a two guard? Will it be for a guy to get his own bucket? Will it be for a stretch five, a rim protector? What do you want to see the Warriors do ahead of the deadline as we get ready for the Suns tonight? And there, look, the Suns, I think they're 7-3 in their last 10, but it's been a clunky 10. It just feels like the Bradley Beal situation has wiped them out. They're 24-22 on the season. Hey, seriously, Bradley Beal.
Like, we would die to be 7 of our last 10.
So the Suns right now, 7-3 in their last 10, which is fascinating considering what's been going on. They lost to the T-Wolves the other night. They didn't beat the Clippers. They beat the Wizards. They beat the Nets. They got blown out in Cleveland. They didn't beat Detroit. They beat the Wizards twice during the stretch. Lost to Atlanta. They beat some bad teams. Shasky. They beat the Jazz, Hornets, and the Wizards twice, and the Brooklyn Nets. 5 of those wins coming against the bottom feeders. So I'm not sure how well they're playing. I just know they lost to Minnesota the other night. That man went crazy with 33-7-5. KD had his 33. Still got a Kevin Durant problem, which would be Andrew Wiggins. He'll be defending KD.
Who's on Booker tonight? GP2?
Probably a little GP2. Probably some shooter. And Book could go. Book could go. But Bradley Beal coming off the bench. He has 17, so you got to be aware of him.
Do you start Quentin Post again tonight?
Are you going against Nick Richards, a young man from Charlotte who just got traded over from there? You know what? Why not? Why not? I know I got Looney coming off the bench.
I love how we're doing lineups these days. Why not?
Why not? Why not? Making 29 different starting lineups tonight. But I'm cool with Quentin Post to stretch, you know, but they'll probably put Kevin Durant on Quentin Post. Steve Kerr said it on a podium where he goes, you know, I think wings are going to start defending Quentin Post. Teams are going to start using their wings. And that's probably what's going to happen tonight.
Yeah, but that's where the adjustment by the coach and the player needs to happen, where it's like, all right, now start diving. You know what I mean? Start getting into the post. Yes, Quentin Post, get into the post. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to be a 7-footer, like, you better start learning the back to the basket stuff so that you can negate them putting the smaller guys on you. You know, like, that's the adjustment that needs to be made. We're already seeing it. League's adjusting. You got to adjust.
Yep, no doubt.
And I'm not saying you got to turn yourself into, you know, prime Patrick Ewing down there. Just every now and then.
So what you're saying is the Warriors need a Klay Thompson. It'd be nice to have a Klay Thompson, prime Klay Thompson, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it would be nice to have a first ballot Hall of Fame prime Klay Thompson. Yes, I would want to go back to that.
But also, you know, I'm seeing another deal. What about Sexton and John Collins from Utah? John Collins.
John Collins has been available every deadline for the last eight years.
It's a reason for that.
Pat Riley was telling Dan Le Batard when they were sitting down, he's like, we got offered Brook Lopez every single deadline for 7 straight deadlines. There's a reason we kept saying no.
Hey, that interview with Pat Riley,
was all time.
Just let it fly. Oh, Jesus. I want to go there one day, Shasky. One day we could just let it rip and just start airing out everything.
If you had, you know, Pat Riley's status.
Yeah, Pat Riley. I don't have Pat Riley status. I have some Pat Riley intel.
I love Pat Riley. I used to slick my hair back in the day grammar school. Yeah, a lot.
You want to do it like Pat Riley?
Back. Oh, yeah. Well, that was the Steve Lavin, the Pat Riley.
What was your hairline? Did you have, like, the point hairline?
No.
Like the villain? Yeah, the widow's peak. No. You know, like the villains. They always got
maybe
the widow's peak.
I don't know.
The villains got the suck.
But it would slick it back. That's how I used to play with it, you know, gelled back because it would get in my hair. Oh, yeah. Get my eyes, excuse me.
Toughest part of business is the trade deadline, according to Steve Kerr. That's what he told Grady Willard.
I know that they all love it here and want to be here, and I feel the same way about them. You know, one of the things in this business, you get really close to people and you build up long friendships and collaborations, and when you're as lucky like we have been to win championships and, you know, go to battle, so to speak, with these guys, you don't want to see any of them go. It's hard. So that's the difficult part. I think the players all understand the business, especially the vets. They get it, but that doesn't make it any easier. This is really the toughest part, I think, of the business is right now, trade deadline and a team kind of in flux trying to figure out what to do. It's a tough spot for everybody.
Steve, what do you think about having enough here? Do you have enough on this roster to make a run?
Well, we know talent wins in this league. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed to win if you have talent. If you don't have enough talent, you can't go anywhere. That's just the reality. So the question, you know, we have to ask ourselves, and Mike and the front office have to ask themselves, is do we have enough talent? You know, and that's a tricky question to ask because on some nights, like last night, you go, hell yeah, we do. Like, that looked great, you know. But then other nights, you know, it's clear, like, you know, Steph could use a little help scoring-wise, or we could use this, or we could use that. And then, of course, you sit there and you look at all the options, and you have to determine, does this really help us? And that's what this time is all about, Mike, is, you know, gathering all the information, all the possible trades he can make, and going from there.
That's Steve Kerr. What do you make of all that? Shameless shout-outs, by the way.
I just think it's a tough position to be a coach, and for like a month, everyone's speculating what deal you're mm-hmm. consummating. And you have to do all these public appearances and be peppered. Similar questions where you can't give an answer because of whether it's tampering or, you know, what if a trade doesn't come through and I say something about one of my guys or whatever. Like,
right.
You have to play it so coy. It's just a tough spot to be in. I mean, like, if you went up there, I was like, I mean, we're just not good enough. I mean, like, yeah. we're trying to swing a deal. You know what I mean?
We like it for content purposes, I mean, but your team would hate you, and I mean, you would kill all your trade chips and your trade value.
Do you see what I'm working
with? Like, yeah. Well, Steve Kerr did say a couple of weeks ago, which is wild. He goes, it's not in our DNA to make free throws and layups. I know what he was saying. He was saying we can't make layups and free throws. Imagine that. I was like, damn, we can't even make layups and free throws, man. It's not in our DNA right now, Dumb Nation.
Look, I love Steve, but I also think Steve's very rigid. And I understand why he acquiesces the way he does when it comes to his offensive philosophy. But I think that it's time, and we've talked a lot about Shanahan's offense needs to evolve. Like, Kerr needs to add layers. That's not me saying he stinks and he's got to go. But the offense needs layers. And I think that, you know, running the same read and react motion system forever, mixing the stuff that some of these guys do well. You've seen Schroeder get opportunities to run more pick and roll. And I think that that's why he's playing a little bit better right now. When Kuminga comes back, I think they need to run more of that Steph high pick and roll with him, which they were starting to showcase. And
it was working
a little more.
It was working.
I want them to lean into some of that. And that's uncomfortable for Steve because he's always going to pivot back. And I get where he's coming, but he always pivots back to what his bread and butter is. And I would say to him, your bread and butter needs to kind of evolve.
No doubt. Listen, with Quentin Pulse, I'm not going to lie, that Bulls game, and it was only the Bulls, and we learned that the Bulls are not any good, but the spacing that Quentin Pulse provided, I started envisioning JK in that lineup with Steph and Quentin Pulse.
In the lane open.
And you're running split action.
Yeah.
With those three guys. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, there's going to be a lot of room to operate for JK. A lot more room for Steph Curry to get off his three-point shot. And a lot of room for Quentin Pulse to hit that three. But we got to make sure we don't put a lot on Quentin Pulse's plate. He just started playing here. It's on a two-way deal. We got to relax with Quentin Pulse. Now, that's where it would help to have a Vucevic, who's shooting 45% from three. But it's going to be fascinating to see what the Warriors – could this be the deadline where the Warriors really make the bold move? Is this the one where they just say, you know what, the hell with it. We're the Golden State Warriors. Because I was thinking about this. Sidey always says it, and I subscribe to it. Once you sign a guy like Kevin Durant, you're in the league now with the Lakers, the Celtics, the Knicks. You're a big boy. You're the big boy. What do big boys do? Whether it's the Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, Lakers, Celtics, Knicks, Heat, in football, the top teams right now, Kansas City's, mm-hmm. the Philadelphia's, Detroit, the Niners, always looking to get better, right? Make a big deal. Well, the Warriors do operate like that. Their mindset now has become, we're like the Lakers. We're like the, like, we don't have the pedigree of the Lakers. I get it. But over the last decade, they've operated like they're the it team, and they are the most valuable team in the NBA. Their mindset is, we need to compete for championships. We need to win at a high level, and we need to make moves. And I'm sure it's been eaten up at Joe. Like, last summer, I know it ate up at the Warriors not to make those moves. Because they tried to go get Larry Marketed. Like, I didn't like the move, but they were all in on it. Same thing with Paul George. So I say all that to say is, like, if we think that they are in the category with the Lakers and all these big boy teams, then we should expect them to try to make a bold move at the deadline.
I guess my question is, like, do you view the Miami Heat that way?
I think they're one of those teams.
Do you think the common fan and the common NBA player views the Miami Heat that way?
I think the NBA players of, and they know what Miami embodies, but maybe the casual fan doesn't.
Well, I think I'm just asking, are we looking at the Warriors through the Warrior lens, and everyone's like, nah, man, you guys, time's up. You're getting relegated back to no man's land.
Yeah, I don't think...
I'm not saying the front office is
thinking that way. No, no, no. But
I'm
the common
saying
fan.
League perception.
Oh, league perception? Well, I think league perception is they know the Warriors want to make some things happen.
Okay.
They know
are
Joe Lacob.
The Clippers viewed that way.
They're not, but you know what? Maybe we should with Steve Ballmer. He puts his money where his mouth is. They made a bold move by letting Paul George walk for free. And they re-signed Kawhi Leonard, even though Kawhi Leonard's barely played the last couple years. And now look at them. They're in the top six. And I think they've been the most surprising team in the NBA.
Hands down. I wonder like how they're viewed right now. I view them through a championship lens. And, hey, they're going to be in on all everybody. But that doesn't mean that, like, they're the it team right now. Like, it fades quick.
New England fades quick. Oh,
New
no,
England
no
went
doubt.
From the place to be in football to the place you don't ever want to be.
But money talks, right?
No doubt.
Situation matters. Money talks. Where you at talks. Now, New England, I think they're going to be back soon with Mike Vrabel. How soon? We'll see. They seem like they got a decent quarterback in Drake May. But I'm with you. When you're already it team, you could come crashing down in a heartbeat. OKC was the it team. Then they went to Siberia for 6 years. Now they're the it team again, so I don't know what they do.